talk and start a new series of teachings today. We talked about the love of God for the last 7 weeks, and we certainly didn't exhaust the subject, but very, very important subject, amen, the love of God. Now today we're going to talk about Living from the Inside Out. God has designed that we as believers live from the inside of our spirit out, not from the outside in, okay? Now in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, or page 1, it's probably the easiest scripture to find right here, amen? Don't you love that when a minister will say, turn over to Hosea or something like that, you're like, all right, table of contents. Now if you've got an electronic Bible, it's a whole lot quicker, isn't it? Praise God. Main thing is you get there, amen? Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. In creation, we see this. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Like Brother Cap said many years ago, God's given us authority over creeps. And verse 27, and God created man in his own image. Now, notice that. God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. All right. Mankind, of all creation, was the last thing. If you read on the 6 days of creation, the last thing that God created was Adam, mankind, which we all came out of. Right? Now, God didn't put Adam there on the first day or the second day. God didn't put him on a moon surface. God did everything first. He prepared the earth, and he prepared the vegetation and the flowers and the grass and the sun and all the different things. And once he was done with that, he says, now I put my chosen man in the Garden of Eden. Praise the Lord. So isn't that wonderful that God prepared all these things in advance, and then he put Adam in the garden? God prepares good things for us. Praise the Lord. Now go to Genesis chapter 2. Just turn the page there. And let's go over here to just the 7th verse. Okay? Now God made man, or Adam, in his image. And there was no other part of creation. When he made the animals and the cattle and the horses and everything that you can think of on this earth, he never said regarding the animal kingdom, I made them in my likeness and in my image. Okay? But when he made Adam, he said, I've made him in my likeness. And in other words, he was made in God's class. Did you know that you are made in God's class? Oh, amen? So you're a classy person. You better believe it. Someone asked Till Osborne one time, you know, many years ago, who was had tremendous revival in other countries, in Africa especially, and people being healed. And so I don't know if you've ever heard of, how many here have heard of Till Osborne before? Just tremendous man of God. And I mean, millions of people came into the kingdom of God through his ministry. Someone asked him one time when he was going to the airport, they said, Brother Till, do you fly first class when you go overseas? And he stopped and he said, no, he goes, I am first class. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, the average person will look at that and said, man, he sure has an ego problem. No, the fact of the matter is, you are first class. Hallelujah. Not just trying to be cute here, but you are first class. Say, I am. First class. Amen. You're God's favorite. Every one of us are God's favorite. Praise the Lord. And it's important to know that, because that's what will launch you in your prayer life, and it'll give you confidence in life every single day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all day Sunday. And notice in verse 7 it says, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground. That's his body. Now up to this point, His body was just a lump of clay, a lump of dirt. God formed his body. He's like a potter in the clay, and he formed man's body out of the dust of the ground. Right? Thank you, Lord. And it says, then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. All right? So here, when God made his body first and he stood him up there, there was no life in it whatsoever. It was just like a clay pot just standing there. That's why the scripture says, thou art the potter, we are the clay. Amen? But notice it says that there was no life until God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and then man became a living soul. Now I'm going to give this to you exactly how I don't want to divert from it, but I want to read it like this. God did not grab Adam by the shoulders and blow him up like a balloon. He didn't go, he didn't do that. The breath referred to here is the result of God's words of faith and life spoken into his man. Now, the Jewish sages write about this scripture in Genesis 2:7. In fact, I have the very book. It's the Hamash, okay, the Jewish Hamash. And it says that the actual Hebrew means that God made another speaking spirit just like himself. Man was created with God's dominion and authority, possessing the same ability to speak words of faith and words of life. Isn't that good? So when Genesis 2:7 was written, you could literally say it like this, that when God made Adam, he made him another speaking spirit, just like God. And because we're at Adam's, because we're made in God's image, in God's class, that's why we can fellowship with him. Now, no criticism about this, but that's why you can't fellowship with the animal kingdom. Okay? Amen? I was at this place recently, you know, we had some time and we took some time off. We went into this place and they had one of these big, I guess it was a parrot. Is that a parrot? One of these birds that talks. Okay, that thing was big. And it startled the daylights out of me because I walked into this room and I mean, it was like he was on an amplifier, you know. And he spoke out in English. He said something like, where did that come from, you know. But, you know, a parrot can repeat something, but you can't fellowship with it. You can talk to your dog, but you can't fellowship with your dog. I know you can say, come on, sweetie, come on over here. You're just so lovely. You know, and your cat or whatever, you know what I'm saying? But that cat or that dog or that animal is not going to talk back to you, at least for now. Amen? Now, before the fall, Adam, animals did talk. Okay? That's why when the snake spoke to Adam and Eve, it wasn't any big deal, because before the fall, there's a whole lot of things that were before the fall that after the fall changed. Amen? But back under the millennial kingdom of Christ, when the 1,000-year reign of Christ, we're going to be reigning with him. The Bible says that we'll, you know, the lion will lay down with a lamb and a kid will play in a snake skin, but there will be nothing that will hurt or destroy. Okay? But when God says, I make man in my image, that means he made us another speaking spirit just like himself. See, that's why you and I can fellowship with one another and commune with one another, because we're spirits just like God. We're made in his likeness and in his image, and that's why we can fellowship with one another. Isn't that wonderful? Now, we're talking about, just kind of introducing this, but we're going to talk about living from the inside out. It's the most liberating life that there is to be able to live out of your spirit. Now, when God created Adam in the Garden of Eden and Eve, their spirits were, in fact, while I'm saying this, go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in the New Testament. I was getting a little ahead of myself here. Let's back up. And let's start with verse... Well, let's see here. 15. Let's start with verse 15. Paul, by the Holy Ghost, says this, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but rather that ever follow that which is good of both among yourselves and all men. Verse 16, rejoice. He's given some admonitions right here. He says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Another translation says, never give up prayer. Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now notice he didn't say thank God for everything, but he says in everything give thanks. Okay? Are you with me? Verse 19 says, quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Now why would somebody despise prophesying? Because sometimes it can be abused. Amen? And just because somebody abuses something and mishandles it doesn't mean the real thing's not there. Amen? He says, don't despise. Now, what's prophesy mean? It means to speak for God. It means to speak, to be inspired. Prophecy is inspired utterance. Inspired utterance. And probably all of you here in this room have prophesied at one time or another, but didn't even know it. Because we always equate prophecy with, thus saith the Lord, and that can will be prophecy, you know. But see, prophecy is nothing more than an inspired utterance in a known in your known tongue, where you felt compelled to say something that ministered to someone, that lifted them up. That's a form of prophecy, because it's inspired utterance. And the more filled up with God that we get, the more that we'll begin to speak out like that. And I'm telling you, you'll be used more by accident than you would on purpose, right? Because when you're filled with God and you're connected with Him, you're going to say the right word at the right moment for the people that you're with. Hallelujah. And so he says, despise not prophesying. Verse 21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Verse 22, abstain from the very appearance of evil. That's a good scripture, isn't it? Yeah. Abstain from it. Verse 23. Now here's what I want to focus on right here. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. W-H-O-L-L-Y. Not H-O-L-Y. And I pray God that your whole, now notice this, that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He who calls you, He will also do it. All right. And we're talking about living from the inside out. To do that, we need to know the nature of man. Now, let's approach this. This might be not new to a lot of people here, but let's approach this as if it's the first time that you ever saw this before. I know when I initially was taught this, it really, really helped me to understand what we're all about. Amen. But notice it says there's that man in verse 23, I pray that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what differentiates us between the animal kingdoms is that kingdom is that we are a spirit. That's who you are. You are a spirit. You have a soul, and you live in a physical body. So you're a tripart being. Just like there's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you're a tripart being. Amen? And when God made Adam, initially, before he sinned and before he fell in the Garden of Eden, his spirit was the mastery. His spirit was in control. But when he sinned, his spirit got dethroned, and now his body was God. His mind was guiding him rather than his spirit. All right? So man is a three-part being made in the likeness of God's image. Man is a spirit. He possesses a soul and he lives in a physical body. Now let's break this down here for simple reference sake, just to understand. Let's talk about the body first. That's what we're most familiar with. We look around, you know, we see each other's physical bodies. Amen? But we're more than just a body. Adam was a body, just a body, until God breathed into him the breath of life. Amen? And the Bible says that in the book of James, that faith without works is dead. And he said also that the body without the spirit is dead. Do you know what makes your body live? It's your spirit. It's your spirit. That's what gives life to your physical body. When you take that spirit out of your body, that's what we call physical death. Now, that doesn't mean that you cease to exist. You're going to live forever one way or the other. Now, when you're saved, you're going to be with Jesus forever. Amen? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So you are an eternal being.
Yeah.
All right? Now, with your body, you contact the physical realm. Right? Everything you feel and touch and see with your five senses, you contact the physical realm. Now, with your soul, now a lot of people thought for years that the soul and the spirit were the same thing, and they're not. Hebrews 4:12 talks about how that the Word of God is the only thing that can divide the spirit and the soul and tell you the difference between. Now, the soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. And this is where most Christians are not having problems with their spirit. They're having problems with their soul and their body. That's where they're having problems. Because when you get born again, the only part of you that changes is one third. That's your spirit. Your spirit's a new man in Christ Jesus. But you still got this mind and you still got this body to deal with. And sometimes your mind and your body want to still do the same thing that it used to do. Your body still wants to get mad at folks. Your body still wants to harbor unforgiveness. Right? Your body wants to eat that whole tray of cookies. Amen? Isn't that how your body just says, I need more of that? Okay? How many of you ever gave into that before? Oh, just a few of us. Amen. So your body, you contact the physical world. With your soul, you contact, notice this, the intellectual or the mental realm. Okay? And now with your spirit, you contact this spiritual realm. Now, your spirit and your soul are connected even though they're separate. They're connected. Okay? Because when you go to heaven, your soul, that's the spiritual part of your brain. Now, there's a difference between your brain and your mind. Did you know that? The Bible says that we have the mind of Christ, right? It didn't say we have the brains of Christ. It says we have the mind of Christ. Do you know you have spiritual fingers, spiritual legs? You do. And your mind is the spiritual part of your brain. And when your body leaves this earth, your soul goes with you. You still remember things. Okay? Now, while you're on this earth, the soul is the deciding factor. We'll get into this a little bit later, you know, maybe next week here, but we're going to talk about the spirit man first. Now, notice that Paul said this in order. He says, I pray God that your whole... Now, this number one, spirit, then soul, then body, in that order. Now, most people, when they quote this verse, I've proven it myself. I've heard it over and over again. They quote it in reverse. They say body, soul, spirit. Why is that? Because they're more body conscious than they are spirit conscious. Amen? I've heard many ministers even say body, soul, spirit. No, that's spirit, soul, and body in that order. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a physical body. Now, your mind or your soul is the deciding factor. It's kind of like this door right here. There's hinges on this door. And you can either come in or you can go out, depending on which way you move the door. The same door has the same hinges. You can enter the room or you can exit the room. And the soul is like those hinges. It can go one way. It can either yield to the body or the flesh, or it can yield to the Holy Ghost and yield to the Spirit. But that's where the biggest battle is in our souls. You know, James says it like this. He says, receive, and in James chapter 1, he said, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Now, he's writing to born again, folks. Save your souls. You know, it's like somebody's souls got saved at a meeting. Well, actually, their spirit got saved. But he's talking to believers, your soul can be saved or renewed. Romans 12 talks about the renewing of your mind, that you can prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Amen? And I can tell you this today, none of you here are having problems with your spirit. None of you. If you're born again, how many of you are born again? Not one of you have a problem with your spirit. But I'll tell you where you do have problems, if you have a problem, in your soul, in your thinking. Okay? You could have come into church here today with this negative thoughts bombarding your mind. Negative about your situation. All right? Now, depending on what you're going to think upon really determines how you're going to be. There is no such thing, listen to me very carefully, there is no such thing as a depressed Christian who's thinking on the right things. If you're depressed as a believer, we've all been there and done that. I'm not pointing any fingers. But if we're dealing with feelings of oppression and depression, it's because we're thinking on the wrong thoughts in our soul, in our soul. Amen? But the good thing is, God doesn't just leave us in that mess. He says, I've given you my word to put inside your mind. And Isaiah 26:3 says, God will keep us in perfect peace if our mind is stayed on the word of God. Amen. Amen. See, when you worry and you fret and you have anxiety and you worry about something, all that is meditation on the problem and not the solution. When you meditate on good things, on the word of God, on the promises of God, the Lord will lift you up. He'll lift up your countenance and you will experience victory first inside you before you see it with these eyes. Because victory doesn't start out there with the believer. It starts in here. Hallelujah. That's why you can shout and be glad before you see anything happen. Amen. And you know, sometimes you just got to practice being happy. Even though you might not feel like it. You might feel like biting someone's head off. But listen, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness and rejoice and be glad and be happy. And before you know it, you'll be in that situation. Hallelujah. Things do not have to be perfect in your life for you to be happy or joyful. In fact, it's just the opposite. You can have joy in your heart and you might be in the biggest trial of your life. But when you have inside information and you know inside your heart the word of God's true, I'm clinging to that word. I know my victory is there. Bless the Lord. I rejoice today. I've done this so many times in my life when I sure did not feel like it. When all the symptoms were lining up like depression, gloom, despair, agony. But when you look to the word of God, like the Bible says, they looked unto him and they were enlightened and their faces were not ashamed in Psalm 34. When you look to the word of God, you cannot be ashamed. You will not be disappointed. You cannot be. Well, Brother Keith, you just sound like you're being hard-hearted towards people. No. We're trying to help people. Remember, part of our vision is to help people win in life. To help people win in life. And the best way that I know to get help is by putting God's word in my mind. And I'll tell you, thoughts can come from every direction. You know that. Bad, evil thoughts, negative thoughts coming from out here. The spiritual, now who's bringing that? Satan, demons, evil spirits, bad thoughts. Now you can't look out there and see the devil. Well, unless God opened your eyes, you would spiritually, you would see it. But most of the time you don't see it, right? But you get this bad thought that comes. First, he tries to do it first thing in the morning. I noticed that. The devil tries to do it first thing in the morning because he wants to get your day started out on the wrong foot. You get a phone call. You get a text message. You get an email or something. And it's bad, bad, bad. Okay? Right?
Yeah.
So, but you know what? The rest of your day doesn't have to stay like that. You can look and say, well, that's subject to change. Praise God. See, the word of God will make you an optimist. Amen? See, I look out here, for example, and I literally see every chair filled.
Amen.
I do.
Amen.
Now, if you look in the natural, that doesn't look that like that, okay? But these chairs, like this chair and that chair and that chair, that's meant to have people in those chairs.
Amen.
Okay? But through the eyes of the Spirit, in my mind's eye, I see those chairs filled with people. And that's why I refuse to be discouraged. Because I look to God and He wants to fill those chairs more than we want to, because we've got the message from heaven, the Word of God, that's going to change people's lives. My God. Right? It's going to change and transform their lives. Hallelujah. So, If we're looking at the natural, the Bible says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things that are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal or temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. That's the Word of God. Amen? So when you get up in the morning and say, how do you feel? Don't ask that question. Look to the Word of God and say, the Word of God says, by His stripes I am healed. Now, sometimes it's a dangerous question. I've said this before, to ask people, and I know people mean well, but the Lord's helping us not to do this. How are you feeling, honey? Are you feeling okay? That's a loaded question. That's a dangerous question, because that's asking the flesh, how are you doing? But you could say, how are you doing? You say, I'm doing good. Praise the Lord. That's the real spirit man. And that, based on the response that you give, will determine how the rest is going to go. To him that ordereth his conversation aright, to him I will show the salvation of God. Man, I'm preaching myself happy this morning. So with your body, you contact the physical realm. With your soul, you contact the mental or intellectual realm. And with your spirit, you contact the spiritual realm. When God, I wrote down here, when God created Adam, his spirit dominated him until he fell. His spirit was dethroned by his body and his soul. Now, we're not going to leave you there. Because when you come to Christ and you come to Jesus and you get born again, someone got kicked off the throne. Well, we know the devil did. But your flesh got kicked off and your spirit literally became king again. Okay? Now, what spiritual development is simply this: allowing your spirit to rule your mind and your body. That's what spiritual maturity is all about, is allowing your spirit to govern your body and your mind. Now, how many of you know sometimes you're, when it comes to like prayer, now whether you're praying for 5 minutes or 30 minutes or whatever, your body sometimes doesn't want to pray. Do you find that to be true? Okay. I found, you know, in the past, sometimes if we said, we're going to have a meal, everybody come to church, it's packed. It's packed. We're going to have a meal after church. And there's nothing wrong with that. Okay? But if I say, we're going to have a prayer meeting, you know, I wonder how many people show up. Just a thought. Right? Because one is a spiritual exercise. The other is a physical exercise. You understand what I mean? Hallelujah. But did you ever notice, like me, you're the same way, right? We all got bodies, right? Did you notice sometimes your body doesn't want to pray? Anybody here, anybody here ever experienced that before? Your body don't want to worship. Just want to drag yourself in here. Come on, Pastor, let's go. I've got so much time here. Let's do it. You know, your body will talk to you the whole time. But you can actually tell yourself this. Now, wait a minute, body, you shut up. Mind, you shut up. We're going to sit here like a little spoiled child. Our bodies are like a little spoiled child sometimes. You say, nope, we're going to sit here. We're going to listen to the Word of God, and the rest will take care of itself.
That's good.
If you look at the amount of time that you come to church compared to the other time you have during the week, that little sliver of time can make all the difference up with everything else. Are you with me? So when God made Adam, he initially made him for his spirit to dominate him until he fell. Now let's go over real quick here, for the sake of time here. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. And let's talk about this first, you know, man is a spirit, he has a soul, he lives in a body. Let's talk about your spirit, okay? First and foremost, because that's who you are. That's the part of you that's going to live forever. Well, Brother Keith, what does my spirit look like? Does it look like a big cloud floating around? Like when we get to heaven, is it going to be clouds just floating around? No, your spirit looks just like you, except a whole lot better. Amen? Do you know there's nobody old in heaven? Someone could have been 95 years old when they left this earth and they went to heaven. You know, when they get to heaven, they look like a 20-year-old. That's a proven fact. That's a proven fact. No one has gray hair. No crutches, no canes, no nothing. And here's the best part. No one's overweight. That's all part of the earth. Okay? Just a little side thought there. Okay, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 says, "For this cause, though our outward man perish," or in other words, is getting older, "yet our inward man is renewed day by day." Now notice that Paul uses this phrase, outward man, inward man. Outward man, inward man. The outward man is the body. The inward man is the spirit. He says the inward man is renewed. In other words, the inward man, which is your spirit, does not grow older. Now, our physical bodies, they're getting older. That's a fact. All right? Now, that doesn't mean that we have to get some disease and sickness and all that. That's all part of the curse. You can still age gracefully. That's what the Bible talks about. Matter of fact, you do not have to have a disease to die. You can just check out. And I'll prove that in future lessons when we talk about this here. So, but I want to show, there's another way that Paul uses the flesh and then the spirit. The outward man is the physical body. Okay. Now, if you look at a picture of you 20 years ago, you look a little differently than you do now. Some of those pictures are quite embarrassing, right? Oh, my goodness. We could go somewhere with that one. Some of those pictures I look at, I thought, doggone it, was that me back then? Amen. Oh, my. All right, so the outward man is the body. The inward man is the spirit. Say, I am a spirit.
I am a spirit.
Okay, now this is my spiritual dad and father, Brother Kenneth E. Hagin, was a very, very spiritual man. I don't mean weird. I mean, he was really in contact with God, you know. He says the thing that helped him more than anything else, and he taught this to other people, was to say out loud, I am a spirit, and I have a soul, and I live in a body. And when you realize that who the real you is, okay, you are a spirit, then it's easier to be led by the Holy Spirit who lives in your spirit on a daily basis. Amen?
Amen.
You know, if you're just recently driving down the road, someone cut me off. Pretty dramatically. My body wanted to do certain things. Roll the window down, scream at him, whatever, you know. My body was talking to me. Okay? But I thought for a minute, and I thought, well, what good is that going to do if I allow my body to lose its cool right now, to scream, to yell? Who knows where that's going to go, right? So someone said, when there's a fire, what do you throw on the fire? Do you throw water on the fire, or do you throw gasoline on the fire? The right answer is water, okay? So, you know, and the devil knows how to push our buttons in the flesh. And you know, but the best thing is just to say, I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to bypass that right now. You know, all right, they did something wrong. They cut me off. So what? I can swallow my pride. Okay? I don't have to prove myself and be macho man. Okay? What if the guy has a gun or something like that? You know what I'm saying? People are nuts. People in the world are crazy, you know? I don't want to stir up any devils that way. You know what I'm saying? But see, every day we have opportunities to get in the flesh and yield to the flesh, or we can yield to our spirit. And the Holy Ghost says, so just forgive them. Just go on. Don't let it ruffle your feathers. Don't let it ruin your day. But you know, there are folks, there are believers that something like that happens and the rest of their day is spoiled. Amen. Happens at noontime. At 6 o'clock, they're still fretting over it. Doesn't have to be that way, right?
Amen.
So, the devil is a flesh devil. We don't fight him with fleshly weapons. Our weapons are not natural. They're mighty through God. We don't fight the devil with physical weapons. We can't do that. You can't pull a gun out and shoot him. But you got the Word of God. And so this scripture says the outward man, that's the body. The inward man, that's the spirit. Now let's go over real quick to 1 Peter. And that's I got two more scriptures here. But 1 Peter chapter 3. And I want you to notice this. Now Paul said, use the phrase for the body, the outward man. He used the spirit, the inward man. Same thing. Peter uses a little different phraseology here. And he says, now he's writing to the church here, and he says, who's adorning? Let it not be the outward, the adorning, the plaiting of hair, the wearing of gold, the putting on of apparel. Now he's writing to women right here. Go to the next verse. But let it be the hidden man of the heart. Now notice the phrase hidden man of the heart. That's the spirit. Peter uses this phrase, the hidden man to your eyes, the hidden man of the heart is your spirit. Okay? He says, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is a great price. Now, Josh, bring that up in the New Living, and let's look at this. Now, he's talking about not putting emphasis on the outward man, okay? He's not saying, you know, women don't wear jewelry, don't fix your hair up, okay? Someone said, that's holiness. No, that's ugliness. I went to a holiness church one time when I was in Bible school. A friend of ours, his father, their father was a pastor of a Pentecostal holiness church. Now, I'd never been in any kind of a church like this. This church was built probably in the 1800s. It had a wooden floor. Everything was wood. There was no carpeting. It was nothing. Now, the women didn't cut their hair. They thought that was against the Bible. Okay? They didn't wear makeup. Okay? And if they let their hair down, it was probably, you know, halfway down their legs, okay? Because they were misinterpreting what the scripture is saying. Peter wasn't saying, don't put makeup on, don't wear jewelry, and so forth. He says, don't put all your emphasis on that, okay? Now, the New Living bears that out right here. It says, don't be concerned about your outward beauty, fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, okay? Or beautiful clothes. But you should clothe yourself instead with the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. Amen. Now, the balance here is do all you can in the natural. Amen. Like someone says, if the barn needs painted, paint it. Whatever you have to do, you know. You take care of your body. You want to make your appearance look good, right? But he's saying, don't put all of your emphasis on just the outward man. He says, let it be the hidden man of the heart. What is that? That's your spirit. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, a person can be, and I've seen this, and you have too, that your spirit can overcompensate for so much inadequacies in the natural. Right? Mm-hmm. Someone can be strikingly good looking, man or woman, but if they have a bad spirit, they don't look as good. Isn't that true? But you can get someone that's just average Joe and average Mary that's out there, and they got a beautiful spirit. It's like an adorning. It makes their flesh even look better. Okay? And I'll tell you, your spirit can become more beautiful by the day. Amen. Your spirit is the real you. That's where you get your personality, is out of your spirit. Praise the Lord. Amen. Grumpy doesn't have to show up anymore. You kick him out, he shows up at your front door. I'm not talking about your husband, okay? But I'm talking about the flesh wants to show up and be grumpy and complaining and ugh, you know what I'm saying? Well, that's not making your spirit look very good. But when someone's peaceful and someone's happy and someone's joyful, that's like putting ornaments on you. It's decorating you because you're clothed with not just natural stuff. You're clothed with God's fruit, His love, His joy, His peace. And my God, that's what people are looking for out there. Amen? They're looking for people that have fruit on the inside of them, not a bunch of rules of do's and don'ts. You know, there's a lot of churches like that you have just a bunch of rules. Legalistic. And there's no life. Okay? Oh, but I'll tell you what, you get someone that's filled with God, filled with the Word of God, and the emphasis on building up the inner man, you can become so attractive to people that are out there. And I'm not just talking physically. I'm talking about, you know, the spirit part of you. People will be, they'll gravitate to you because they want what you have. Oh, glory to God. So don't put so much emphasis on the outward. Do what you have to do. Take a bath, put the deodorant on, whatever you have to do, you know. But, man, you can adorn yourself every morning with God's presence. And, oh, I mean to tell you, praise the Lord. I remember one dear old saint that we met many, 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 many years ago when we first got in the ministry, and you would get around this person, and, oh, This older woman, she had a beautiful spirit. She loved God. Man, I just wanted to get her. Every time I see her, I just want to talk to her. You know what I'm saying? I've met guys like that too that are just connected to the Lord, you know? Instead of just trying to impress people with natural things. You know, we should not be trying to impress people with natural things anyway. That's all rooted in pride, ego. Amen. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you what, we can put on love, put on mercy, put on goodness that's in our spirit. And that is what will attract people to you. People will be beating your doors down to hear what is it about you. Amen. All right. So 1 Peter says, you know, let it be the hidden man of the heart. Let it be the hidden man. That's the spirit man. So we have so far this, we're talking about the spiritual part of man. Paul calls him the inward man. Peter calls him here the hidden man of the heart. Same thing. That's your spirit. And all three, in fact, while I'm saying that, go to Romans. This is just one more scripture here. Romans chapter 1. And verse 9, Romans chapter 1, verse 9, Paul says here, God is my witness, whom I serve with my what? Spirit. Oh, God is my witness, whom I serve with my, he didn't say body or soul. I serve God with my spirit in the gospel of the Son without ceasing. I make mention of you always in my prayers. Now, it's interesting, you connect Paul serving God with his spirit, and then he says, then I'm praying for you. See, the flesh part of us doesn't want to pray. Doesn't want to pray. The body, the flesh, every time I go to pray, whether it's for a couple of minutes or for 30 minutes, whatever the case is, my body tells me, you don't got time for this. Am I the only one? But you can train your body. You can train your mind to say, no, we're going to do that, whether I feel like it or not. Amen? See, maybe you didn't feel like even coming to church today, but you came. Amen? You could have been fellowshipping with Sister Sheets and Brother Pillow this morning. You could have, right? Your body says, I need to take a break today. It's been a long week. But you know what? You said, no, I'm going to crucify my flesh. And I said, I'm coming to church this morning. I'm going to hear the Word of God. Amen. And your life will be better for it. This man of God's telling you, your life will be better for it. Okay? Because you put your body in submission to your spirit. Okay? Hallelujah. Amen? It's so funny sometimes I'll talk to people and they'll say, well, I'm going to try to be there this Sunday. I'm thinking, you won't. You won't be there. You won't be there. Because if you give your body the permission to decide whether or not you're going to come or not, you have to make that decision up yourself and say, no, we're going to do this. Hallelujah. And your body won't want to pray, won't want to confess the Word of God. But if you just do, just start out where you're at. If you take 5 minutes and you begin to pray, boy, you're yielding yourself to the Spirit of God inside of your spirit. Now, I wanted to show you this here, that Paul did not just serve God with his body, but he served God with his spirit. So you can't do that unless you know that you are a spirit. Okay? Praise the Lord. Now I look around and I see people here. We see each other's physical bodies, but you know, that's just the outward, that's the shell that you actually live in. And your body is not the real you. It's the house that you live in. Okay? You know, I've got blue windows I'm looking at right now. Okay? A blonde roof. Okay? With a little help. Amen? That's the outward man. But the real you is not the outward man. Now, we don't serve God with just our body. We serve God with our spirit. Now, if I took, for example, everybody here is familiar with a winter glove, right? We don't want to think about winter right now, but let's just use for illustration, okay? And you have a glove, all right? Now, that glove is meant to fit around your hand, all right? And when you put that glove on and you move your hand, whatever way you move your hand, the glove moves with it. But if you take the glove off and you set it down, the glove has no power of its own to do anything. That's just like your physical body. When the spirit part is taken out of the body, the flesh has nothing to do but just collapse and fall to the ground. And the spirit just comes up. It leaves. All right? Goes to be with the Lord. And so that part of you, the spirit part of you, is what gives you an expression. Amen? I'm actually physically right now doing what my spirit is telling me to do. My spirit man's connected to the Holy Spirit, and it's telling me, he's telling me what to say, what not to say, even right now. Say, I am a spirit.
I am a spirit.
Glory to God. Now, I'm going to leave you with this today, and we'll pick this up next week. I can't wait to get back here next week and get into this. That all three areas of your being, your spirit, your soul, and your body, all need fed. They all need fed. They all need nutrition. Now, the body needs physical food to stay alive. Isn't that true? Right? Y'all agree with that? Got you thinking about lunch already, right? So the body can be fed natural food. The soul should be and can be fed with education, right? With natural information and so forth. But the spirit is fed with the Word of God. Okay? Now, I'll just quote this, but remember Jesus when he was in the temptation in the wilderness? And the devil said, turn these stones into bread, you know, and if you're really the Son of God, remember that? And Jesus spoke up and he quoted Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, and he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So he was quoting a verse. Someone said it like this, what bread is to the physical body, the Word of God is to your spirit. Okay? The Bible is spiritual food. And without spiritual food, you will get weaker and weaker. Now, we know that if you go too long without physical food, your body will die. Okay? Now, it'd be stupid to do that, but you could go from here on till Jesus comes back and never get into the Word, never come to church, never hear the Word of God. Your spirit's not going to die, but it'll get weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. Okay? But the Word of God is spirit food. Even one scripture. One scripture. You take one scripture. There's so much nutrients in that one scripture that when you put it in your eyes and put it in your ears, it goes down inside your spirit. You are now being fed spiritually. Matter of fact, right now in church, you're being fed spiritually. Amen. Just pat your belly for a second. Amen? Out of your belly shall flow rivers. Your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Amen? And so when you feed yourself the Word of God, you are feeding yourself spiritual food which will never be taken away from you. Oh, yeah. Now, you remember over in, was it Mark, I think it is? I think it's Mark chapter 10, I think it is, where Martha and Mary, two sisters, were having Jesus over for a meal at their house. These are the two sisters of Lazarus. Remember that? They were friends with Jesus. And here comes Jesus. He accepted the invitation. He's coming over to their house for dinner. He knocks on the door. He comes in. And you hear, you got Martha and you got Mary, two sisters out of the same household. And I love this. I just love it. And Mary decides that she's just going to sit at Jesus' feet and just hang on every word that he's saying. Well, Martha's back in the kitchen. You know, she gets the butcher block out and everything out. She's pulling everything out of the cabinet. She's working and so forth. And then it suddenly dawns on her that her sister Mary isn't going to help. 30 minutes goes by, and Mary's sitting in there at the feet of Jesus, just hanging on every word he's saying. And I can see Martha peering through the kitchen, wherever she was out there, looking at her sister. Because she had an attitude. It's true, didn't she? She had an attitude. You know? Get those hands on the hips, you got an attitude, man. Man or woman, praise the Lord. And she comes out, she goes, Jesus, I'm paraphrasing, she goes, tell Lazy Bones, my sister, to come help me in the kitchen. Okay? Because I'm trying to prepare a meal here for you and for everybody here, you know. And she's just being Lazy Bones, sitting at your feet doing nothing. And you know, she really thought that Jesus was going to chime in with her and then agree with her. Oh, the opposite just happened. He looked at her. And Martha, she's the one preparing the meal. Now, there's nothing wrong with preparing the meal. It's the attitude behind it. She was under pressure. She was operating in fear. She was under pressure. So if you're going to have someone over for dinner, man, enjoy the ride. You know what I'm saying? Don't put yourself under pressure. Just enjoy the moment. Hallelujah. So what if not everything's perfect? Yeah. Amen. If there's dirt on the floor, throw a carpet on top of it or something. Whatever. You know. Are you with me now? Things don't always have to be perfect in the natural for people to enjoy each other. Amen. Don't let that be an excuse. Praise the Lord. And so Jesus said to Martha, because she said, tell my sister to come out here and help me right now. She just rebuked her sister. Now here it comes. Jesus said, Martha, Martha. Now when they call your name twice. Now when I was at home and I was growing up, if they used my first name and my middle name and my last name, I knew I was in trouble. Okay, that's all we're going to say about that. But he said, Martha, Martha. He says, you're troubled about many things. Is that Mark?
It's Luke 10.
Luke 10, okay, it's in Luke 10. I knew it was chapter 10. And he said, Martha, you're troubled about many things. But Mary hath chosen the good part, the best dish, that shall never be taken away from her. Amen? Now that's interesting because he told her, Martha, he said, you're not just troubled about this situation right now. You're troubled about what happened last week, last month. In other words, you've got a troubled spirit. Full of care, full of worry, full of anxiety. And now she's justifying it in her mind. She's taking it out on her sister. It was a lovely person. Lazy Bones, sitting there. But Jesus said, look, she's chosen the best dish that shall never be taken away from her. Amen? Now, Martha could have kept a good attitude and just rejoicing in the kitchen, preparing the meal, because she could have came out with the meal and all of a sudden she's getting the same thing from Jesus that Mary got. It didn't have to turn out that way. But the Lord rebuked her. chastised her that day. Not to hurt her, not to hurt her feelings, but to show her there's a better way. She was yielding to frustration, which is fear, that if she doesn't help me, this isn't going to turn out like it's supposed to be. It's going to be a failure. She's got fears in her thinking, in her mind. Now, anytime you find yourself getting upset and talking back at people, it's because there's fear involved. There's fear. Not in here in your spirit, but up here in your head. Okay? Not everything, and I'm going to say this, not everything has to go perfect in your life for you to have joy and peace. See, I got delivered from being a perfectionist. Because I'm telling you, I was a firstborn, you know, and I don't, that's all that I knew growing up. You know what I'm saying? And I guess my mother was too. Got to blame somebody, right? I'm just kidding. And but you know, some people have a hard time even relaxing because they always got to be doing. You know, you're a human being, not a human doing. A lot of people don't even know how to relax.
So true.
Don't even know how to sit there and just enjoy the moment. You got to be doing something. What is on your agenda? What's in your day timer today? What are you doing today? Nothing. What do you mean nothing? You got to be doing something. Right? Praise God. But listen, there's a time to be still. There's a time to be quiet. There's a time to enjoy and just move at the right pace. And trying to, just like later on, they told Jesus, Martha and Mary said, "My brother's sick. Can you please come and minister to him?" Okay? These same two women. Didn't think of this till now. And Jesus put the pause button on. Showed up 3 days later. Now Lazarus is dead already. He shows up at the house. Now, the test is on. Where were you? Why didn't you show up? It's too late. My brother's dead. He kicked the bucket. He's died. Okay? Jesus says, no, I'm not too late. I'm paraphrasing. He says, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Now the sister says, yeah, I know that on the third day or whatever, you'll be, you know, she's getting all spiritual. He says, no, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Well, you know, he raised him from the dead. He had the grave clothes on. He's been embalmed and so forth, right? He's in the tomb. And Luke, in John chapter 11, Jesus gets out there. Okay, I'm finishing up here. And he stood out there at the tomb of Lazarus, and there's all these people out there. At the graveyard. I mean, he's graveyard dead. He's wrapped up. He's a mummified, okay? And he stands there and he looks up and he says, Father, I thank you that you always hear me.
Hallelujah.
That's righteousness talking right there. Daggers are coming at him from people. You know, what are you talking about? You know, the little girl is not dead. She sleepeth. And they're mocked him to scorn. And well, a few minutes later, she comes walking out. Now what are they going to do? Jesus is the resurrection. He is the life. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Now, he said it with boldness and with authority. And the Spirit of God got... Now, he couldn't do it himself. The Spirit of God came into that tomb, picked him up, and set him down outside the tomb. And he's wrapped in... It says he was wrapped in clothes, the burial garments and so forth. Then he told his disciples, he goes, now go loose them and let them go. Amen? See, Jesus did the hard part. God did the hard part. He raised them from the dead. Now he told his disciples, no, you go loose them and let them go. Amen? See, that's what kind of business you and I are in. We're in the loosing and letting go business. Amen? God raises people up spiritually from the dead. You know, you were dead spiritually. Now you're alive. That's a great testimony. I was dead. Now I'm alive. Oh, glory to God.
Good.
Amen. But he raised his spirit up. Hallelujah. And his disciples went over and unraveled him, and now he's a free man again. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord. Say this after me. I am a spirit.
I am a spirit.
I have a soul.
I have a soul.
And I live in a body.
In a body.
The real me,
the real me
is a spirit.
Made in the likeness
and in the image of God.
My spirit
will now dominate me.
Not my body.
Not my mind.
But my spirit.
Hallelujah. 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 Now as you go forward this week, as we dismiss, take little steps. You know, you don't have to take a big, huge step, a leap, you know. But the Bible says we walk by faith. It didn't say we leap by faith. It says we walk by faith. And when you walk, it's one step at a time. Okay? Well, I can do that. Now, I can't leap to the back of that auditorium, but I can certainly walk back. Right? And each step that I take takes me closer to my destination. Now, this week, just to allow your spirit to dominate you, begin to do things that your body may not want to do. Take some time to pray and speak the word. Start out with just a few scriptures, a few minutes. And as you yield yourself to that, you have just now let your spirit dominate you. Amen. If someone does something to you, says something that hurt you, be quick to forgive them. Say, Lord, forgive them. I do not hold that against them for anything. I forgive them. Be quick to forgive.
Amen.
By doing that, you're letting your spirit dominate you. And the more you let your spirit dominate you, the easier it will be ongoing to let your spirit dominate you next week, next month. Amen. Someone said, how to eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So it may look like a big thing, but you do just take one little baby step. Just take one little step. All right. By his stripes, I am healed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. My God shall supply all of my needs. You know, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. How long did that take? About 20 seconds or less. But by doing that, I just allowed my spirit to dominate my body. Okay? And so the more that you yield to that, the easier it will be to not allow your body or your soul to dominate you. But your spirit will be now reign king, it'll be crowned king, and it'll be spirit man walking around. Glory be to God. The scripture tells us, oh, let's just praise him right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The more we get in, it seems like the more I get into this today, the more it's coming to me as I'm speaking this. But the scripture says in Proverbs that the spirit of a man will sustain him even in bodily weakness. Now the Amplified says the strong spirit of a man will sustain you and even in bodily weakness. When your spirit is strong, there's no physical handicap that can keep you down. There's nothing. There's no sickness. There's no disease. There's no test or trial that can keep you down. If your spirit is strong, you can overcome any and every obstacle that comes your way. Hallelujah. The strong spirit of a man will sustain him in bodily weakness. Praise the Lord. So I'm looking at some spiritual giants in this place right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Whew. Glory. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Let's just give glory to the Lord right now. Amen. Thank you, Father. 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 Praise you, Lord. When you yield yourself to me, saith the Lord, and you yield your spirit to me and yield your spirit to my word and yield your spirit to prayer, then your spirit man will become strong, yea, stronger each and every time you do it. For you see, there's no natural thing, there's no natural weapon arrayed against you that can keep the man or woman down that has a strong spirit. So decide today with your soul, decide today, I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to talk with God. I'm going to yield my spirit to Him. And know this, that when you do that, each step that you take, you'll become stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger until the point the things that used to dog you, the things that used to really discourage you will fall off you like water off a duck's back. The things that used to trouble you will no longer trouble you. You will begin to turn and laugh and laugh and laugh because you'll know I've got the answer. I've got the victory. And the victory doesn't start out there. It starts in me and my spirit. And so as you fill your life, as you fill your heart with my word and fill your spirit with prayer and fellowship with me, your spirit will rise up and it'll be said just like it was in the days of old, there's giants in the land. But it will not be a natural giant. It'll be a spiritual giant on your part, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Linda, you got anything before we leave here today? Has your spirit, man, been fed today? I feel like I've been fed today. You know what I mean? The Lord's good, isn't He?